Good morning. It is great to be with you this morning. I would invite you to open your Bibles to Psalm 100. Psalm 100 is where we will begin. We do have some birthdays this week that we get to celebrate. You'll be 17. Briston will be 17 on Tuesday. Wow. I don't see him this morning, but Donnie Todd has a birthday on Thursday this week. So, you know, I guess, Karen, you tell him that I'm thankful for you since it's Thanksgiving, right? Drake, how old you going to be Saturday?
Eight.
Woof. You guys are growing up fast. So make sure that you wish Drake a happy birthday. I brought a gift for a couple of you, so you didn't forget. I went to a basketball game last night. I had a popcorn and a Coke. And as we finished, I put said Coke bottle in the popcorn bottle or popcorn bag, which was empty. Three people from here looked at me like I was a drunk. So I told them I was bringing it for them. I don't know why something as innocent as a Coke bottle and a bag of popcorn. But today we're going to think about how we worship. We have been looking at and talking about our acts of worship and why we do the things that we do. This morning, here in Psalm 100, beginning in verse number 1, this is a psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. We sing this song a lot of times at Bible camp. It's one of my favorite songs. And I will tell you, it's not just a Bible camp song. This is a song that I love to sing even when I'm by myself just driving down the road. I think about the fact that we get to come together today, and it's been said more than once that this is a privilege, that this is something that we get to do every first day of the week, come together to worship God, that as we've looked at already in places like John chapter 4, there in verse number 24, that God is seeking true worshipers, those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And that is my obligation as a Christian. It is your obligation as Christians that we come together and notice there that God is seeking such to worship Him. So therefore, He is the object of our worship every time. As we think about today, our lesson, again, we're going back to basics. Singing in the worship service. Why do we do it? Well, we get to make a joyful shout to the Lord. We get to come into His presence with singing and with gladness. I don't know about you, I get excited to be able to come together and worship our brothers and sisters, to come together, to be able to sing praises to God. We get to worship with one another, knowing that the Lord, He is God, the one who made us, going all the way back to creation. It is Him that we get to worship, Him that we get to uplift His name. We are His people. I think about that often. We get to be His children. We get to be those who are called the children of God. And what an incredible blessing that is every day to be able to be called a child of God. Notice there that we enter into His courts with praise. We came to worship Him. We're here to praise Him, to sing these praises unto Him. He's good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth, His word, endures to all generations. If you back up to Psalm 13... I want to take a look at a few psalms this morning as we begin thinking about why we worship God the way that we do. Remembering that it is Him that we are here to worship and why we do it. Why we gather together to worship Him. Yes, we see the examples in places like Acts chapter 20. And yes, we understand that God is seeking those true worshipers. But why are you here? When we come into this building, the songs that we sing, and I'm thankful that Jordan's leading singing again this morning, and he has put thought into what we sing. It's not, hey, I forgot I had that, and I'm going to grab a book real quick. And he's prepared and ready to lead us in worship. In that leadership position of leading in worship, we think about those songs that we sing. I hope that, you know, we sing Rock of Ages. That's one of my favorite songs. And I think about who God is that rock. And he stands for all ages. There's never been a time when he has not been able to be depended on and counted on to be that rock in our lives and the lives of those who have put their faith and their hope and their trust in him. We think about why else God is deserving of our worship, and especially those songs of praise. Here in Psalm 13, beginning in verse 5, "But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt," notice there, "bountifully with me." He's given me all things. We talk about how blessed we truly are to live in the place that we do, in the country that we live in. And how blessed we are, again, to be called a child of God. But think about all those blessings that we have, both physically and spiritually. He has truly dealt bountifully with each and every one of us. Psalm 27. Notice there in verse number 6. Psalm 27. David here writes this psalm. Back up to verse 1 for just a second. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Now go down to verse number 6. You think about him overcoming all of his enemies that stand before him because he puts his faith in God. "Now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord." And knowing all that God has done, every day is not going to be an easy day. There are going to be days that we're going to have difficulty. There are going to be days that we're going to have struggle. And includes sometimes the first day of the week when we come to worship God, doesn't it? But notice what David says. "I remember where my faith is." Notice there, God, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? He is the strength of my life. For whom shall I be afraid?" Why would I be downtrodden? Why would I allow those times to get me down? I'm going to enter in to praise him. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. I will not back down. Go to Psalm 95. Psalm 95. The psalm itself, and most of them are pretty short, but this one is 11 verses. And I think about this psalm in particular is about worship and about what we do in worship. Psalm 95, beginning in verse 1, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. When your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." Why do I worship him? Why do I sing praises to him? Because he is the one who is always there. He is deserving of it, worthy of it. Notice there, he is the rock of our salvation. He is the creator of all things. He is the Lord, the great God. And again, we see that same phrase that we've already read. We are the people of his pasture. We are the sheep of his hand. We are his people. How incredible it is to be a child of God. How could we do anything but come into His presence joyful and ready to praise Him, ready to sing songs of praise, ready to uplift His name? How much better do you feel? I'm so sorry that I don't know. I really didn't yell at basketball games yesterday. That was a joke. I did once, but anyway. Not enough to lose my voice by any means. I don't know if it's the weather. I don't know what it is, but I'm sick and tired of not having a voice. And the main reason is I love to come together. I love to sing. And I can't sing very loud today. I love to sing. I love to praise God. It's an exciting thing that we get to come together to praise Him. When we think about those songs of praise that we get to uplift to His glory, can you imagine a time when you didn't do this? Can you imagine a time when we don't come together to worship God? Look with me at 2 Chronicles 29. And I want to introduce you to a time, or show you a time, maybe even perhaps a better way to say this is remind us of a time when they weren't worshiping God. When worship to God had become something of the past and needed to be restored. 2 Chronicles 29. We're going to begin in verse number 20. Then King Hezekiah rose early, gathered the rulers of the city, and went up to the house of the Lord. And they brought 7 bulls, 7 rams, 7 lambs, and 7 male goats for a sin offering for the kingdom, for the sanctuary, and for Judah. Then he commanded the priests, the sons of Aaron, to offer them on the altar of the Lord. So they killed the bulls, and the priests received the blood and sprinkled it on the altar. Likewise, they killed the rams and sprinkled the blood on the altar. They also killed the lambs and sprinkled the blood on the altar. Then they brought out the male goats for the sin offering before the king and the assembly, and they laid their hands on them, and the priests killed them. They presented their blood on the altar as a sin offering to make an atonement for all Israel, for the king commanded that the burnt offering and the sin offering be made for all Israel. And he stationed the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, with stringed instruments, and with harps, according to the commandment of David, of Gad the king's seer, and of Nathan the prophet. For thus was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. The Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets. Then Hezekiah commanded them to offer the burnt offering on the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord also began, with the trumpets, with the instruments of David, king of Israel. So all the assembly worshipped, the singer sang, and the trumpeter sounded. All this continued until the burnt offering was finished, and when they had finished offering, the king and all who were present with him bowed and worshipped. Moreover, King Hezekiah and the leaders commanded the Levites to sing praise to the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. So they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshipped. Hezekiah restores worship to the temple of God. Worship for Judah before the children of Israel, before God. He restores it by first making sure that sins are taken care of so they can worship Him in spirit and in truth, so that they can worship Him fully and completely. And you notice, and we look at this at times for just the musical instrument aspect of this, but I want you to pay attention to their worship. Their worship was serious. He made sure that it was the sons of Aaron. Those were the ones decreed to be able to be priests. They were the ones that were offering those sacrifices. They were the ones that were leading in the worship the way that they were always commanded to. They made sure the people were prepared and ready to go to be able to worship. Brother, when we get up on Sunday morning, is it an afterthought? Oh yeah, it's Sunday and I got to go to church. Or is it, oh, I can't wait. First day of the week is approaching, and I get to go meet with the brethren, and I'm prepared to do just that. We're going to worship God in spirit and in truth. We're going to make sure that we don't allow these things that took place in the life of the children of Israel to pass us by any longer. We're going to make sure that we gather together to worship. You look at these examples. Imagine a time when they didn't worship God, when they weren't gathered in the temple. They had found the book of the law, and it was just in the temple amongst all these other things. It had become a storage shed. You know, too often times is the temple of the Lord. That's what we are today individually. How many times do we also become a storage shed where we just allow all these other things from the world to fill us up?
and they're taking up place, and what happens? They choke out God. They take his place. We get so caught up in worrying about all these other things. This is what was actually happening to the children of Israel. They had allowed the temple to be just filled up with whatever. When we come in those doors, I appreciated Brian's prayer this morning as we got ready to go to Bible class. He said that we'll put away those thoughts and the things of the world. Brethren, we need to make sure that those things stay outside those doors. Make sure, and really the way this breaks down, is those things stay out of our lives. I realize that there are things that happen in our lives and things that need to be dealt with and that we need to be able to focus on. But those things should never take the place of God. Those things should never choke him out in our life, where we have to be rededicated back to him. We need to make sure that we always have that place for him first and foremost in our lives, and everything else, you watch, it doesn't mean we have bad days, but everything else then falls into place because we focus on him and what he would have us to do in every situation. You think about why we come together, why we worship, why we do the things that we do. Why do we sing praises to him? Because we know outside of these walls in our lives, everything that God has done for us. And when we put him first, he doesn't get choked out. Those things don't take priority then over him. How would we take those things that he has blessed us with and put them over him? It's backwards. When we come together, we have to sing praises. We have to think about why we're here and the things that we are doing. And notice here, when they had finished the offering in verse 29, the king and all who were present with him bowed and worshipped. And they gave the commandment for the Levites to sing praises to God. And they sang praises and they bowed their heads and they worshipped. We come together and we sing praises. We get to worship God. We are singing praises to him. And I've got to understand what I'm doing. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Hezekiah knew what he was doing, what he was putting back into place, and he understood that it was to be taken seriously. It's still no different for us today. We take that same seriousness, I hope, in the way that we worship and being prepared and ready to worship. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in context, Paul's writing to the church of Corinth to tell them that you guys think tongues are so important that you forget that they also have to be interpreted. And he goes on to tell them that if there's not anybody there that's able to interpret it, you don't need to speak out loud because you're just causing confusion, things like that to take place. Tells them, same for us today. We need to make sure that we understand what we are doing. In verse 15 of 1 Corinthians 14, Paul writes, "What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding." I'm going to think about what I'm doing. When somebody is leading us in prayer, we think about those words that they are saying rather than allowing other things to come into our mind and keep us from concentrating on what we're doing. When we are singing praises, we sing with understanding, meaning that we focus on the words that we are singing to God rather than just how beautiful it may sound. When it's from the heart, it's going to sound beautiful to him. I never understood until, as a child, why the preacher would talk about these burnt offerings smelling good before God. As I got older, I understood why they smelled good, because people were in their heart worshiping God, being obedient unto him. The same thing that we do when we raise these songs of praise to God and we sing with that understanding of why we do it. Ephesians chapter 5, a verse that normally we think about singing. This is usually where we start, right? This morning, we're going to end with a couple of these verses. Now I want you to think about why we do it and why we gather. Here's the commandment that we have. This writing to the church at Ephesus, beginning in verse 15. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all the things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. When we think about how we are to walk, it is carefully that we are sober. We're thinking about the things that we are doing. When we come together and we get to worship God, we sing praises to Him. We speak to one another. Notice we then teach one another. As we're teaching one another, singing these songs and making melody in our hearts to the Lord, we remember all of the things that God has done for us. We walk carefully every day. Make sure that we are redeeming the time, making the most of it. In our time together, we make the most of making sure that we worship God in spirit and in truth. Colossians chapter 3, notice beginning there in verse number 12. Colossians 3, beginning in verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. We teach. It's why thought has to be taken into those that lead us in song, lead in worship. Thought has to be given to what we are going to be singing and what we are going to be doing, that those words that we sing praises to God, yes, but also at the same time we are teaching, instructing, admonishing, building up, edifying one another. That teaching that we have in song, oftentimes perhaps we come through and or come in here and we just go through the motions. We can't go through the motions. We owe, first and foremost, God more than that, but we also owe one another more than that. To think about what we are doing and why we are doing it, why we're gathered here to worship God. So my question to you this morning, why are you here? You take what we do seriously? Yeah, these are pretty basic lessons. I get it, back to the basics, looking at these principles of why we come together, why we are worshiping God. And it is because in our hearts, I hope you think about 2 Chronicles chapter 29 there. They went for a period where they never worshipped God the way that He deserved to be worshipped. They didn't worship Him in spirit and in truth. They certainly didn't worship Him as He had commanded them to do so. We've got to make sure that those things don't occur in our lives. And you say, well, Corey, I'm not going to go years without worshiping God. Well, that's good. I don't want you to go a day without worshiping God. I don't want you to come here a single time that we gather together to worship God where your heart and your soul and your mind are not in what you're doing. We don't have a place to be able to put ourselves before God. Instead, always, we give thanks to Him in everything that we do. When we come together, we think about our brethren. We encourage one another. We uplift one another, and even in our songs and in our singing. When you leave, I hope that you think about the words that we sang today, the songs that we sang, and not whether or not, well, Jordan, you kind of butchered that one because you let it too high. Well, Jordan, you just, I'm going to pick on you for a second. That one was so slow. I didn't get anything out of that today. You got a heart problem if that's the way you walk out of here thinking. Because this morning, just like every time that we come to worship, we have sung songs of praise. We have uplifted who God is, why He's worthy of worship, and why we, as His children, as the body of Christ, get to teach and admonish and uplift one another through those songs, to be taught. We get to teach one another. We don't want to be false teachers. We don't want to be insincere teachers. We want to make sure that we sing and we teach and we admonish and we praise in spirit and in truth and looking out for Him. This morning, think about you for a second. We read a verse a couple of times, including there in Psalm 100, and you think about there in Psalm 95 as well. We are the sheep of His pasture. We are the ones I will enter His gates. Thanksgiving in my heart for Him. I enter into worship and I take it seriously. This morning, you take your life seriously? Your soul, how serious do you take it? Is it in the right state to meet God if Jesus was to return or your life was to end? This morning, if you need to become a child of God, come and repent of your sin, confess His name, be buried with Him in baptism. Waters are ready. Or as a child of God, if you need to get things right in your life and get God back in that first position that He's supposed to be in. If we can help you in any way, we'd invite you to come now as together we stand and sing the song.
It's been selected.